KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
That's right. Here we are, the host of Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And that's it.
That is it.
Man, usually it's a full house in here.
Yeah, but it's like old times now.
Empty. This is what happens when people eat a lot of food. They get sick and they don't come in.
I think that it's just what happens when people get lazy.
Also an option. I wonder if he's listening in. I bet he is.
I bet he's not. I bet he's playing some kind of video game that he's been playing for the past 8 hours.
Borderlands, Left 4 Dead 2. Certainly not New Super Mario Bros. Wii, because those tools do not have that incredible game.
That's too bad.
You played that game, though.
I did.
And you liked it.
I did, other than the fact that I'm just sick of collecting coins, but it's funny, because when I was playing it with you, I was actually, I don't know if you could tell, but almost to the point of being thoroughly disinterested.
I could tell.
Yes. But then afterward, maybe the next day, I was like, hey, that was pretty cool. I kind of want to play that. I kind of want to play that now. But then I think again, right? And I'm like, yeah, but what am I going to get out of playing that? I'm just going to get more coins. And then where am I going to be?
No, you don't get the coins are simply a side quest.
No,
what
no,
you
I,
get out of it is the
no,
game.
No, I understand that, right? I'm being facetious to
I
make
know,
a point.
I know, but it's so much fun. And I played it basically every day of my break. Like, I don't think I played it yesterday because I'm on a plane, but during the break, we had it hooked up at the parents' house, and we would play. At one point, we may have had four people. Maybe we maxed out at three. I'm not sure. Forgot to bring your controller back, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice that you're such a good friend that you remind me that you've... Because I actually completely forgot.
That I forgot your controller?
Yeah. That's how much I play the Wii these days.
No, I understand that. Yeah, that's actually like a lot of us. But this game comes out, buy it, good times. There are a few things I want to mention that you talk about getting coins. It's actually very interesting. So this is the first Mario game that I can think of in the main series. And this isn't even in the main series. I normally wouldn't consider it that way. But main enough that I was willing to play it.
So you were not into Mario until now or what?
No, what I mean is like there's Mario World and Super Mario Bros. 3. Like all the games, there's the main line of the main lineage of Mario, right?
Right.
And this is sort of an offshoot, but we're going to pretend it's on the main line. Because I like it,
you could,
and that's all
you could
takes.
Even say it's if you're really a purist, that it's even more on the main line than these silly, weird 3D Marios.
Perhaps. So going with that, I'll say it's the first one that I can think of that allows simultaneous multiplayer. Am I right about that? Other than like tiny little side bits of Super Mario Bros. 3.
I did actually read an article somewhere today when I was perusing through the news, where somebody said somewhere that actually Mario 64 was originally intended to be totally multiplayer, but then they cut it out.
That would be awesome, except I doubt it because the following two games, Sunshine and Galaxy, have no multiplayer.
I don't know. Well, there's a little bit in Galaxy, but that's neither here
nor
there.
Oh, the other person control?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. So this game has full multiplayer, and there's a point, well... you and I don't suck at these games, but if you're playing with people who suck, which is probably most people that are listening to this, you know, because they play and then they introduce it to their family, their younger brother or sister.
Always been a continuous problem. Not that playing. I don't want to characterize it as playing with people who suck, right? But then when there's a large skill differential between the people playing, that's always not quite the best outcome there.
But this game does a really great job. We talked about this, I think I talked about it a little bit last week, that you can carry another player. Did I mention that?
Yeah, yeah. And it changes the dynamics when you have to do things like that.
It does, right. And I was talking about the missions where you have to escort the non-player character, Toad. But you can also just pick up the people you're playing with, and that helps in certain ways. Like you can, if someone can't make it over a certain jump, you can put them on your head and, you know, jump high enough that you can then throw them across somewhere. Or... you can throw him in to get a coin that's hard to get, like one of those special coins, and then, you know, he might lose a life, but he'll float back and you can get him. And so anyway, there's this dynamic of like, let's say you get to the last boss, or a boss, and he's hard to beat, although they're mostly really, really easy, especially the fewer characters that there are on screen. But in order to stay alive, like, you just have to have one person alive on screen, because if someone dies, then he floats back, and as long as you break him out of his bubble,
right,
then you can die, and he's alive, and then you come in the bubble, and then he breaks you. Anyway, so there's this sort of ping-pong of just having to stay alive, at least one person, which is common in a few other games as well, but not within Mario.
Sure.
So I like that part. I like that you can keep playing, or you can pick him up, you can get your other character, you know, your other player, past perhaps a hard spot. And there were a couple times when I was playing with someone who's just really not good, you know, pick him up and get past a certain point, and then, okay, now we can continue playing. But what's also nice is that I might have 40 lives, right, because they stack up really easy in Mario games, whereas these other people are dying left and right, and they only get a continue every time you go back to the map if they run out of
right.
lives.
Which I find it also interesting that they still have this nearly antiquated
unlimited
idea
lives.
Of limited lives.
Continues? Right. And I thought to myself, what's the continue for if it's unlimited? But here's what it does. First of all, it keeps count, which in the end may have some purpose, right? If you beat it without using a continue or something. But aside from that, if you're in the middle of a level and you lose all your lives, you don't come back in that little bubble. You don't use a continue. So the other person is stuck on their own. So there is some very small amount of penalty to that. So basically you have to be able to have enough lives to get through this level without dying completely if you want to play that game of ping pong with the lives. The reason I started talking about all of this was because you talked about coins. And what I love is you share your score and the coin count. There's only one for all the players who are playing. So if you're playing with four people, then it's one. If you're playing with one person, it's one. And of course, the same for only two people. And so if you get 100 coins, the other person is out of the game, right? They've died, all their lives are gone. And in order for them to use a continue, you have to die yourself or finish the level in order to go back to the map. That hasn't happened, though. You're in the middle of the level. They've lost all their lives. You might want their help. Well, if you get 100 coins, everyone who's playing gets an extra life, not just the person who collected the 100th coin. So that gives the person an extra life. They float back into the game, and they're back in.
So there's a reason not to just continuously grief each other all the time.
Yeah, and there's a reason to get coins. It's not just another extra life to stack on to your mountain of infinite lives anyway. This actually brings someone back in a way that they couldn't be brought back through any other means. Like when a one-up falls from the sky, whoever gets it gets the extra life. But when you get 100 coins, everybody gets the extra life.
That's pretty cool.
So it's, I don't even know how much they thought about it or intended it, but it's interesting that it will bring them back from the dead.
Yeah, I'm sure it was quite deliberate.
Yeah, I thought about it. Like there were, first I found out by accident when it happened. Oh, that was neat. And then later I said, well, I'm going to really pay attention to coins here so I can bring her back, come back into the game. Anyway, that's my little story about Mario. The more I play it, the more I like it. I have yet to see that point where they allow you to just let the game play by itself. I've even gone into all the menus looking for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know how to activate that.
You know what? It's funny because a lot of people are making a big deal about that. I'm just like, whatever.
Maybe it's like if you get to a point and you just stand still long enough, it takes over. I have no idea.
Yeah. Ironically, we can kind of do that with almost any reasonably popular game now by just going on YouTube. Oh, I'm having trouble at this part of the game. I'll search on YouTube for this game. And, oh, look, there it is. Somebody has a demo of themselves beating whatever.
Well, that's when it's puzzle-based. But when it's, when it's like Twitch, you still have to have the skill to accomplish that.
Even still, you know, it's even if it's not necessarily a puzzle, right? It's always, I found it very helpful to watch someone else's videos to find out what they do to kill someone.
You know what? You didn't notice because you didn't get far enough in the game. There's actually videos in the game to teach you how to play other levels. So, you know, those big coins that you get, you wonder, well, what are those for?
Right.
They stack up through the course of the game. Let's say I have 50 that I've collected. You can go back to the first castle.
Right.
Or actually, like, the first castle. And buy videos from Peach.
You know what's interesting? Okay, check this out. I don't think most people realize how old this technique really is.
What, you mean buying education material within the game?
Within the game, yes.
How long back does that go?
The oldest example I can think of is in Dracula X, which is TurboGrafx-16 CD, basically, PC Engine. Right?
Yeah.
They had the same system. You could actually spend money that you collected in the game to buy a demo of your character fighting and killing a boss without getting hit.
Wow.
And this is like, this has had to have been like pre 95 even, right?
That's really cool. So yeah, I'm sure it wasn't even playing video too. It was actually playing game.
It was literally a replay of the game. Yeah, it wasn't, obviously it wasn't video. So it's like, this is not new, guys. So I don't know like where that goes with like,
but it's weird. Like it kind of breaks the fourth wall for me, but at the same time,
it does in a way. Sure.
But
sure.
I still liked it. And especially because I hope they have the videos that I need specifically how to get the special coin in such and such level.
Right. What I wish they would do, right? Which nobody seems to think about this, but what I wish they would do is instead of giving you a boss encounter, where you have to fail repeatedly to figure out the pattern. And most such patterns are such a way that you really have no choice. You have to do a certain number of failures in order to learn the pattern. Or, right, you watch somebody doing it successfully to understand the pattern. And then you can
Not so much this game, by the way.
Right, but in general, yeah. Right? And then you can, then you gain some competency at it, right? Now, the problem, I think, comes in, it's like, instead of them solving the actual problem that was there to begin with, they just added on like this band-aid that's ugly. What I really think they should do is they should structure these types of battles where you actually have a phase where you have an opportunity to learn the pattern before it actually penalizes you heavily. That, I think, would be far more interesting and a lot more honest to the player, frankly.
What do you mean? How could that be done?
Well, look, I mean, I just thought of it. I can't design the whole thing right now off the top of my head.
So you want a method so that I would learn the pattern needed for the boss prior to fighting the boss?
No, while fighting the boss, before you actually have serious penalties levied onto you, right? Because the problem is, right, now one of the more extreme examples of this is like Demon's Souls, right? I'm playing Demon's Souls. The bosses are really, really hard in Demon's Souls. The only way you can really understand their patterns is, like I said, you either watch a video of someone doing it, right? Or here's what, if you don't have access to a video, right? You have to, you encounter the boss, right? You try a few things. The problem is that the penalty for making a mistake is so harsh that the first time you get to the boss, you might only get 10, 20 seconds of exposure to the pattern.
Yeah, before and you can try another option.
Before you get kicked out. And guess what? It takes 20 minutes to get back to where you were, right?
I think some do that by giving you, like, and Mario is actually a great example of this. Like, let's say it takes 3 hits, which it does, to destroy all the bosses. 3 pops on the head, right?
Right.
Their first action against you of, like, throwing something at you or jumping on you or whatever is usually slow or slower.
Right.
And after you hit them once, they get faster. And so you learn the pattern
that's
because it's easier
it.
To avoid that first
That's part of it, right? Another thing they do is they use a lot of telegraphs, right? But even still, I think that we still need to take the next step, and I think it's cooler to do it that way than...
Just put it in a newspaper.
Or you can do that.
All right, folks, we'll be back right after the break.
KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. If you'd like to give us a call, you can do that at 866-536-1100.
And you can visit our website at chatterboxgameshow.com or just chatterboxers.com. I'm in the live chatter room. It's hard to pay attention while on the show, but apparently Waffle Dude's PS3 is in bad shape. So I'm sorry, Waffle Dude.
How's that? Just, did someone throw a bunch of dust on it?
He got the YLOD, which I'm guessing is the yellow light of death, although I've never heard of it.
Wow.
I'm guessing that's what it is.
Sounds pretty severe.
Yeah. Apparently, he also plans to try and fix it himself with some thermal paste and, for some reason, a heat gun. I'm guessing that's to remove the heat sink before using the thermal paste, but I don't know.
That's also sounds pretty severe.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Good luck with that, little buddy.
Yeah. So.
Another website you can go to, other than Chatterbox Game Show, is uat.edu. Not a .com, uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. Wonderful sponsor of this program. And really of Phoenix in general, for anyone who's in this region or feels like visiting. They do a whole lot of stuff technology-related in the Valley. So very kind of them. Anyway, go to their website to learn about the programs they offer in terms of video game development education. Now, you wanted to talk about something else. Get away from the new Super Mario Bros. Wii, which is great, and people should play.
Yeah, screw that.
Right. It's not to mention Drag Me Home, that game that our friend made for the iPhone that we talked about last week.
It's definitely not about that.
About that.
No, it's about Black Friday. I'll just.
It's about Black Friday.
Black Friday, yes.
All right. So, and did you actually go out on Black Friday?
I actually did, but it was not to buy anything.
Now, I believe, did you call me about the TV on that day, or was it a different day?
Yeah, no, so it was that day, I think. So I'll be brief about this because that's not really what I want to talk about. But yeah, I just found out that the TV that I bought, Black Friday, yeah, discount? No, went up by $500 for Black Friday.
Sweet.
So that's awesome because I already got it for $500 less than that.
All right.
So that was great. I actually did end up buying something. I bought a 4-gig Sony memory stick. For $15, which is like laughable.
Does the TV use the memory stick?
No, but my camera does. And
you know,
four gigs for $15. Come on.
I bought an 8-gig SD card for just $23 the other day.
There you go. It's
kind
of ridiculous.
If you go online, you can do way better than that. I happen to buy in a store.
Possibly, yeah.
But it's not for the TV?
No. So for the camera. Got a camera.
Oh.
Digital camera.
You already had a camera.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
That's awesome that you can't take the memory from your camera and put it in your TV. When it goes Sony.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Sony, for giving up on your own proprietary formats like everyone else does when they find out that it doesn't work.
They don't have a memory card slot at all, do they?
Not even
close. In that television?
Nope. There's a USB slot.
Yeah.
But,
you can read off that. Yeah. You know, actually, I used an SD slot in, I think it was a Hitachi TV just last month, maybe a month ago.
That sounds weird.
Actually, no. This was over Halloween when I went over to Vegas, just because the TV at the house that we were at happened to have one, and I had a fancy camera, right? And it took forever to load even one image. Waste of time to use the TV to do that stuff.
Yeah, total waste of time. So same thing with my new, even though it's top of the line Sony, right? It's like, okay, you can hook up a USB drive to it. Okay, what format does it recognize? JPEG.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, that's it.
Yeah, well, that's all I would expect, but yours was loading stuff much faster than mine.
Like GIF? No. PNG? No. BMP? No.
But cameras don't record in those.
Eh. Anyway, the PS3 recognizes almost all
of those. Well, of course.
Okay, so anyway, I'm really happy because I got a smoking deal on Black Friday.
On a memory card.
From the comfort of my computer.
That is what I was trying to do.
Yes.
Dude, Razer Zone, they make mice and stuff, and they've contributed to our projects in the past.
Okay, I thought you were going to say that you got a great deal on one of those Razer scooters.
No. RazerZone.com is the website for Razer. They make fancy mice and now headphones and keyboards and all sorts of stuff. So they had this special... You know how Woot does like a grab bag sometimes where you for some small amount of money you just
don't know
get,
what that is, but okay.
You don't know what Woot is? Dude, seriously?
Oh, come on. Come on. I live in a cave. Come on.
All right. Moving right along. Anyway, some places online will sell you stuff when you don't know what you're buying, and people just do it for the mystery. What's great is you find this on sites that have to do with great deals, like Slick Deals is where I found this.
Okay. I do know what Slick Deals is.
Good. So you find these things like, oh, there's Grab Bag Day, and it's like, really? This is probably the worst deal ever. The I don't know what I'm buying deal.
Yeah, I would really never go for that because I don't want to get like 300 RJ11 cables.
But usually these places are really cool. Like the ones that do it are neat. Like I could picture a Zappos doing this, even though that would be really bad because shoes are a bad thing to buy when you don't know what you're getting. But Woot does it and they're successful because you usually end up getting cool stuff that is at very least worth what you paid because you don't pay a lot. Now, Razer was going to do this 300 things starting at midnight on, I don't even know, Friday night maybe, and it was going to be like their mice and their headphones, and the worst thing would be like a mouse pad carrying case, like their aluminum pad. I don't know. No matter what, though, it was only $1 with free shipping. So like,
That's hard to argue with if it's $1. I'll just be like, all right, okay, I'll take the RJ11 cables for $1, sure.
But it wasn't going to be that. They showed the list of products that it may be. And I was ready to do it, but like even before midnight hit, like their servers were just totally crushed. Nobody could get in. So I'm sure somebody eventually got the 300 things, but Anyway, that was my one effort of actually trying to get something. I do, however, want a second Xbox 360. So if anyone in the Valley has one that's not totally broken and has HDMI and isn't banned and has a good deal for me, let me know.
I'll take one so I can play Forza with multiple monitors. That would be totally sweet. But then I'd have to buy another copy of the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, guess how much I paid for a new copy of Forza 3 on Friday. Total shipped price, everything. Final price.
Brand new?
Brand spanking new.
From where?
From Amazon.
What was their price on Forza 3? Did I know? I'm just going to say $30 because if you're...
Because there's no way that it can go lower than that, right?
Yeah.
No, it was not $30. I paid $34.99.
That was damn close.
That's amazing.
That's a good price for a brand new game.
The Black Friday price was $40, $39.99.
Yeah.
They did one of those, you know, oh, you only have an hour left to order this, right?
Gold box.
Gold box thing. So $5 off, free shipping.
Yeah.
No tax.
That's the way to do
it. I was like, I was not going to buy this game because I was like, you know what? I got a lot of other games I'm playing now.
A lot of other racing games.
I'm really busy playing. And that and other games still. And maybe I'll just wait until the price drops. But then like I saw this like $34.99. I'm going to have to wait like 6 months, if not more, before the new price gets down to that, right?
So yeah. Well, you know, congratulations.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just feel all kinds of smartness this week.
Dude, I'm happy for you. Unfortunately, I'm sad that our podcast and radio show has essentially turned into the Keg Cast, which can get really boring sometimes.
The Keg Cast?
Keg.
I don't even know what
Cheap Ass Gamer, man.
Oh.
Great people. We love Cheapy D, but I hate hearing people talk just on and on about the deals they got.
Yes, and that's why...
what I do when I talk about buying TVs, I guess.
But this is why we do this once and then not again.
All right, well, was there anything else fantastic?
No, that's it. That's the remainder of the fantastic.
So we've got it out of our system?
Totally. I have no desire to talk about deals anymore.
Okay, good. So now we're going to look at Dead Sexy Bodies or...
So, okay, let's leave the sexiness for a little bit later because I think that this can be a nice, interesting topic.
We need to leave that out until prime time, later in the show.
That's right.
As the evening moves on.
Okay. But let's talk a little bit about Natal again. I don't want to get too much into this because we've covered this already.
Well, we've got 1.5 minutes.
And so that might not be enough, but let's just try it anyway. So at a recent conference, it was called the Streaming Media West Show, right? The general manager of Xbox Live, his name's Mark Whitten, gave a talk there.
And I think I read a letter from him on the air once.
Yeah, and it's just very strange because Microsoft is pushing this Natal thing so hard, and there's this interesting dichotomy that's showing up between, on comments, on blog posts and stuff, between like two camps, right? One of them is like, this is never going to work. You're crazy. I don't want to yell something to my friend and then have, you know, 4 TV components turn on and channels change and all these crazy things happen inadvertently. And then there's the other camp, which is like, how dare you technophobe, you old man, you all that other stuff, right? And I don't know. I don't even find myself torn. I just think that people who think like this is going to actually work and be better than manual devices are crazy. That's what I think. So I got a bunch of interesting quotes that we can laugh about when we come back.
Regarding the Natal.
Yeah.
Which is essentially just a stereoscopic camera.
Sure.
With a mic.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one.
Woo-hoo! Dude, I'm looking at the chat room. Red Fox said he's complaining. He's got a frowny face.
Someone's complaining on the chat room.
Yeah.
I live stop out, the presses.
I live out in the middle of nowhere, and I have sat internet and solar power. So, okay, he's got slow satellite internet, but he's got solar power.
Okay, that's nothing to complain about.
Solar power is awesome. Kick ass.
I think it's cool.
So,
off the grid.
Quiet down.
When there's Armageddon, you'll be the only one with internet access.
Who needs to be online anyway? Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't need that. Except to listen to Chatterbox.
Sure.
That you need to be online for.
Very important.
I don't want to slow down your game just because you're using your internets on Chatterbox. Anyway, let's listen to these quotes.
Okay. So
Mark Minken, Matten, Witten.
Mark Witten. Mark Witten, general manager of Xbox Live, says, with the flick of my wrist, I can change a channel. Okay. Never mind, guys, that we can do this with the press of a button. With the power of my voice, I can start a movie. Like, hoo boy, like, now we're in the future. There's more. Watching a movie is passive input, but a TV should understand what you're trying to do. Laughter is an input. Yelling at the TV when I know an answer on Jeopardy is an input. Attention is an input. The number of people in the room at one time is an input. Now, okay, Mark, all of these things can be inputs, but just because they can be doesn't mean that it's good for them to be.
Dude, this has brought to my brain an invention. I shouldn't even talk about it on the air, but I kind of want
it. Because you want the patent for it? Because it's so genius?
Well, if I talk about it, that's prior art, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Right. So
I don't know. But here's the thing
me. I want to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay,
here's what
talk
I want.
About it.
So I have at home a couple super fancy learning remotes. Usually I end up not using them anymore after a while. But I've got one of those Logitech Harmonies that I've been using for a while because they gave it to me when we did PAX years ago. I was like, I want one of those on top of all the other crap you're giving people. So they sent me one. And it can do all sorts of stuff, right? You can make it turn the volume up on every different device you have.
Right.
Make it do all these things,
voice,
macros.
Voice input?
Here's what I want. You said that I want voice input. I want
to really, device. You really want voice input?
Yes, I do, and I'll tell you why. So I want it to sit on my coffee table and have emitters in multiple directions, or one emitter that somehow can get to multiple directions and point all that stuff, and hopefully RF as well, and be able to accept voice input, and then I can train it and say, when you hear this, do this, right? Hit volume up 5 times and shoot on this particular device, whatever. That would be great, because then I don't have to find my remote.
See, this is the thing that I don't understand, okay? Somehow, maybe I'm a little crazy, but somehow finding the remote is like the game that everybody spends 20 minutes playing before they actually turn on their TV.
It's not just finding the remote. I'll know where the remote is and just not want to get up to get it.
Okay, so here's the crux of the matter, right? Assuming that the remote is truly impossible to find and it's so laborious.
No, I just don't want to get it.
Or you
I want to be able
want
to lay on the couch,
right?
And be like, channel
like,
5.
Like what? Okay, so anytime channel 5 is uttered, right? It's just your stuff's just going to turn on.
No, man.
So how is it going to know? How is it going to know that it's not a false positive?
Maybe I'll learn Armenian and I'll say it in Armenian and then it will come up on the TV.
Well, that possibly might work, right? But my point is that these technologies are not necessarily new. They're very fuzzy types of things, right? It's not necessarily something that I think can be clearly resolved just by enough technology, right? It's not something where it's like, oh, we're just not smart enough to figure it out, right? If things like voice input, if the input isn't clear enough, if it isn't differentiated enough, right, then it might not work. And also you might get false positives, right? Because utterances sound like other utterances all the time. It's just the nature of that communication, right? So that's one thing, right? That doesn't even start to consider the fact that, maybe you don't want your TV to react when, you're watching Jeopardy and you exclaim, oh, I know the answer, right? Maybe you just want to watch something sometimes and just watch. Maybe you don't want input. Why does everything being hyper interactive suddenly better? You know, it's like, this is the thing. It's like,
dude,
it's,
he never said it was going to accept all these inputs, but it's certainly
good to have the
option.
No, but that's the implication, right? The idea here, right? I mean, this is very like pie in the sky talk, right? And it's obvious that he almost doesn't even believe what he's saying himself, because all these things aren't necessarily good, right? And yeah, we can have a future with these things, but do we really want that? And is that really better? And I don't think it is.
I don't know, man.
I just want to use the control. Like, what's like?
I don't see the downside to this that you see. That's all. Like, I'm excited to kind of watch it crash and burn. I'm also a little bit excited to be able to swipe through my menu system with my hands.
Yeah, I know you're real excited
but,
about that.
But I tell you, that's going to get boring real fast because it takes way more energy to do that.
This is also what I'm saying. There are few things, very few things, that take less energy than pressing a button. Very few. And that's going to be the biggest hurdle for these kinds of technologies to work. Because if it's going to take off, it has to be actually easier, not advertised new and improved. That's one. Here's another great point. So here's another interesting thing, right? He keeps going after he's got more to say, right? And so he explains that Microsoft's goal is to make it easy and simple to find the content that consumers want. And so the last quote I have from him says that it's not going to be a remote control that consumers use ultimately because a remote control is already too hard, right? And it's like, okay, what's hard about a remote control? Well, try not putting 10,000 buttons on it for one. I mean, that might help, right? But I don't think there's anything easier than pressing a button. It's the easiest, simplest thing, and I don't know. I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I certainly don't see the bad that you see, but I
don't
want
to talk to my games. I mean, like, okay, it's gonna feel cool, like, okay, tea, Earl Grey, hot. Okay, here's my tea. You know, I'm Captain Picard. That's great. You know, but come on, I mean, how many times are you gonna do that when you're just like, all right, I'm just gonna press the tea button because that's what I want.
Yeah, that would be funny actually if they made a Star Trek game where you involved getting your food from the whatever that thing's called. And you had to talk to it.
The replicator?
That's the word I was looking for.
I'm such a freaking geek.
No, I if you'd said it, I knew it, right?
Yeah.
I guessed that was the
replicator.
Right word.
So I've already revealed my geekiness.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, by revealing Captain Picard's favorite drink. But
Wait. That part I didn't know.
Moving on. Well, that's all he drinks is tea Earl Grey hot. Come on, everyone knows that.
He doesn't drink synthol?
No, he doesn't say synthol. He doesn't say like jasmine black or orange pico or whatever. It's Earl Grey.
Okay.
Which is quite...
You know that synthol is their fake alcohol, not a flavor
synthol,
of tea.
Synthol, yes. I don't think he drinks synthol. That's like...
Is it synthol, not synthol? Synthol?
No, I think it's... Oh, Christ, I don't know.
I think it's synthahol.
No, you're maybe. I don't know if it's synthahol now.
Dude, Wikipedia is just a step away.
No, synthol, now I remember, synthol is an illegal oil that bodybuilders use.
Nice.
To inject into their muscles where it stays there and puffs up your arm.
Okay, that's then that's real.
That is real.
Whereas synthahol,
so I don't think it's called synthahol, but my nerdy past may be betraying me.
Well, maybe someone in the chat room can look it up, and I'll go down to the current, and someone will tell me if it's synthahol.
Okay, so let's moving on.
Yes,
moving on.
Now we're just going to talk about the sexy bodies.
Now let's talk about the sexy bodies. Okay, so I saw this article online, and basically it talks about the double standard between male portrayal in games and female portrayal in games. And
now, I can't wait for this argument, by the way.
Both men and female, by and large, in video games are portrayed in very archetypal ways, where the men are overly muscled. One of my favorite quotes is that, yes, their chest size rivals that of most women's, right?
Yes.
And, of course, the females have even bigger chests and even less clothing and, you know.
Very tiny waists.
Sure.
Just the way we like them.
Very attractive, right?
Yes.
And there's this interesting double standard where people are always complaining about the female image portrayal and how the sexy images are, I don't know, somehow not good, somehow demeaning, whatever, take your pick, right? But nobody's complaining about the men, right? And this reminds me of something that I experienced at GDC Game Developers Conference a few years ago, right, where there was some talk, some kind of forum, I don't know, some room filled with people, and this girl comes up, just this kind of impromptu thing, right? And she basically publicly chastises the game developer community, right, for basically being so sophomoric about, like, oh, you know, I'm going to make females with huge, you know, breasts and tiny waists and no clothes on and all this stuff, and how, like, all the images we constantly see are that same image over and over and over again. Can't we grow up? And, you know, that wasn't exactly what she said, but that was the gist of it. I don't remember who it was exactly, but this was met with an uproar of applause, right?
Yes, as if it's nothing or something that we hadn't heard before.
Right. And so, I mean, my question is, right, in the famous words of Spinal Tap, right, what's wrong with being sexy?
That's, yeah. An argument that you gave earlier before the show, you were saying that, or maybe you were just goading me.
I was probably goading you, but perhaps. Tell me what you think I'm
implying that it's nobody complains about the big beefy men,
right?
And they do complain about the women, as if that bothered you. That was the key component of this discussion, that bothered you.
Oh, it does. So, it does kind of bother me though, because they're both types of images are hypersexualized. I think that some of it may come from the fact that, I don't know, there seems to be an assumption, right, that, like, if a woman's scantily clad, it must be a degrading depiction. And I don't think that that's necessarily so.
That I like.
Well, I like that too. Most men like that.
No, I mean, that point you make, you're right, it's not necessarily. Although,
oh yeah, sure,
it probably is. Well,
we can talk about it some more.
Yeah, we'll go to break. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And we've been amusing ourselves with images of Synthol users online.
Dude, this stuff is wild. We've all seen pictures of this.
Much worse than Synthol Hall.
Yeah. That it was confirmed, by the way, at least within the chat. I was right about Synthol Hall. But the Synthol stuff, we've all seen that picture online of that weird dude, like people use him as an avatar and stuff, who's just got these muscles that are ridiculous and malformed and
like a few heads large.
Yeah, like crazy. And that's this one guy, Greg Valentino, who apparently blew up his muscle.
Yeah,
and here's a picture of him with a scar.
There you go.
Or a bunch of stitches, because okay. I suspect he blew up his arm.
Yep. As much as I'd love to do a health and fitness show for the remainder of the hour.
Ours into all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to end up like him, perhaps you should go to school to learn how to do things that aren't just bodybuilding. And you can do that at UAT, the University of Advanced Technology. And you can learn about them at uat.edu.
You sure can.
Yeah, that's a segue of champions.
And you'll meet people who know about Synthol Hall, but not Synthol.
That's absolutely true.
Okay, so let's get back to this, our sexy topic of the hour.
Other keywords for this site that has Greg Valentino?
Yeah.
Bagatron 5000.
Okay, I guess you can say that over the air.
Okay. Oh, boy. What a website. Moving right along.
Right, so
I was going to talk about the body image thing.
Yes, yes.
All right, so I just wanted to make the quick point that what we all know and hopefully haven't forgotten, men place greater value, subconsciously at least, on visual.
And right? Consciously. And subconsciously.
And consciously, right. But
and consciously.
They're attracted, genuinely, more attracted to visual stimuli than women are, right? So
sure.
The concept of a overly sexualized male image means nothing. If
we're not offended.
Context.
Like, see this beefy guy we're looking at? Are you offended?
No.
I'm not offended.
But my...
cool.
I'd like to keep looking. My point is that...
not at the beefy guy, though. Or would you?
That explains the reason why women are more critical of women being portrayed that way. Also because they're super subconscious. Self-conscious, excuse me.
yes. And they are probably super
because
subconscious.
Because we are more turned on by the sexualized woman then the woman is turned on by the man.
This is true. And I really don't think...
If it was all a bunch of gay men
sure.
looking at the masculinized men, then...
Sure. So I want to kind of go back on the point I touched on right before the break, which is I think that we'll just use the word hypersexualized imagery of a female can be degrading depending on the context, but is not inherently degrading, first of all. Second of all, I think that most of such depictions in games are better described as just archetypal rather than just inherently degrading. And that's what actually this article that I saw online was making that very point, that look at how the females are actually portrayed. They're actually portrayed from positions of power.
Yeah, not they're those, killing a lot of things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not those of helplessness and not those of, you know, the normal things, baggage that comes along.
Well, except that chicken, Donkey Kong.
Degrading.
She was sexualized and certainly just a victim.
What? The 8-pixel high chick? What?
Yeah. Oh, on that box of my board game, she was very attractive. And on the cover, I'm sure also so much. And Peach is helpless the whole time. Daisy, helpless. I mean, until you get to the Mario Karts.
That's true. But really, I mean, it's...
Actually, Super Mario Brothers 2.
There's a few different things, right?
Princess Peach was all over the
place. Honestly, I think that there's far too much attention paid to, you know, these roles and these objectifications. I mean, like, come on. Like, it's... Of course, imagery objectifies something one way or the other. And I don't think there's anything wrong with objectifying things in the hypersexual way. If you get offended by that, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I'm very excited.
Well, not you personally, but I'm talking about like the you at large, all those yous out there who are listening, right? I don't know. The only thing I have to say is you don't live in a world that guarantees you freedom from getting offended. So too bad.
We've heard that theme a lot.
That's
on
right.
The show.
And I love to repeat it continuously.
Yes. All right. Well, what do we have left for the 5 minutes remaining?
So, okay. There's okay. Let's go back to maybe this will be the 5 minutes of lawsuits.
You think so?
Since we've got a whole bunch of lawsuit stories lately.
Like that guy who was suing everybody because he's lame.
I mean, I don't know if there's a lot to say about this guy, honestly.
Just that he added someone to his list.
Yeah. So this guy Eric Estevio, right?
Who claims he's not in it for the money and he's going to stop suing.
Has sued almost all of the major video game publishers because he got banned from the PlayStation Network because of his behavior online, so he's suing Sony for that. He got the Red Ring of Death on his 360 console, so he's suing Microsoft for that, even though they have a return policy, so I don't know what the deal with that is. He's suing Nintendo over a Wii system update because he used homebrew stuff and now he can't. So in order to aid him in his lawsuit pursuits, right?
By the way, if he had properly done his Wii modification, he could have avoided any updates.
Yeah, so sucks to be him, right? But he's recruiting people to help him out. So he's subpoenaed. Let's see. Apparently, who's that girl? I don't know. A few celebrities.
Are you quoting Madonna?
Winona Ryder? I don't know.
All right. Yeah, I mean, she was one of them.
Someone from some band, and now he's subpoenaing Bill Gates himself. I mean, like, come on. Like, this is... Okay...
The irony is that Bill Gates probably is not very connected to
right. He probably has no idea what's going on here, right? All I have to say about this is why we can't have nice things. Because of you, Eric, we cannot have nice things because you summarily abuse the legal system and give us funny topics to talk about on the radio.
Well, as true as that is, I still think he's trying to make a point about the legal system. But the Daytel lawsuit is slightly more interesting.
Okay,
also,
so this is what I really
want
to talk
about.
Though. Yeah, no. But this is interesting. Now, Microsoft recently had an update, right, on their Xbox Live stuff where they basically locked out all third-party cards, okay? Now, I didn't realize...
There was only one company that made third-party cards, though. Daytel.
Okay. That's more interesting, right? The even more interesting aspect of this is that Daytel contends that the lockout, right, was based on the size of the memory card. In other words, if you insert a memory card, right, I don't know, what's their default size, like 32 megs? The Microsoft size of their memory unit?
They have a bunch of different ones. They max, to my knowledge, they max out at 512 megabytes.
Let's say it's 512 megs, right? So according to this lawsuit, the way that it's worded, right, it automatically locks out any kind of device that's more than, let's say, 512 megs.
I believe 2 gig is the limit.
Okay.
But
so, which, you know what? Hey, that might be worth actually suing over because that's a little crazy. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, your product is substandard. It's just your product is superior to ours, so we're going to lock it out.
Yeah. That isn't... So, they were making cards that were much larger than 2 gigs, so they just put a limit on it and said, and the system now won't allow it if it's larger.
Right.
Rather than recognizing the technology, somehow figuring out that it's not their genuine card, they just have a size limitation.
Right, which, I mean, you know what?
It's an interesting move, but they could still make 2 gig ones.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a suit about that is legitimate because they're claiming that, you know, that's it's counterproductive to competition. It's squeezing the competitor out. And hey, you know what? It is.
It is. But I mean, these video game systems have people have made that complaint of these in the past because they're locked hardware, even though they're capable of more. And then the chips to allow you to put on homebrew and stuff are made illegal. And it's all a big. It's a bummer, right? Because the original Xbox, you could do a lot with the original Xbox that had nothing to do with pirating games.
You could.
A whole lot of cool stuff, but there was no real way to do it legitimately, and Microsoft certainly didn't offer a way to make it easier. And then what bugs me is that Sony tried to get into this homebrew scene by letting people run Linux, but it's just people running Linux on their machine. It's not using the PS3, and it doesn't allow you to use certain parts of the PS3. Like, they don't give you access or instruction sets, what's the word I'm looking for? Like manuals and things, you can't access that information for certain parts of the system.
Well, they don't do it for developers. They're not going to do it for regular people.
They give a lot for but at least the developers have access to like all the cores and all the I/O and stuff like that. Whereas
that was a little joke.
Like at least on the PlayStation 2, when you ran Linux on that, like I don't think you were given the I/O drivers. So like you couldn't use the controller or something. Like maybe that's not right, or the high-end part of the graphics processing.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that they would lock you out from the most interesting parts of the system.
Yeah, basically, they don't want you doing anything truly interesting with it, which is frustrating.
Yeah, so I don't know how much time we have left.
One minute.
Let's talk about this for the last remaining time. So I'm always hesitant to talk about things that analysts say or that that studies do, because you can just make up anything. And, you know, we all know about what they say about statistics, right? But there was a study that was done by some kind of analyst company called the Cohen Group. So who are they? I don't know.
At least it's not EDAR.
At least it's not them.
I hate those guys.
Me too. Where they've revealed, like, big surprise, right, that review scores are one of the least important factors for game purchases.
This was a very worthwhile thing to talk about.
And so that's what we're talking about.
So why would we do it with only 1 minute left?
Because we're just that good.
No. Let's save this. This is a good thing.
You do okay. Okay, if we save this, we're gonna have like 20 seconds to talk about the next thing.
No, what we can talk about is the fact that I read in a recent issue of Game Informer while on all my flights over this holiday season, a review for your Demon Souls game.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
I meant to bring it in for you, and I totally forgot.
It was a great review, I'm sure.
He gave it a 9.
Of course, he gave it a 9. Everyone's giving it a 9. Those damn hypocrites.
He gave it a 9 and said really good things. I thought you would be excited about this. I forgot about your tirade against all the good scores.
I have disdain because all you mother-er-ers
giving it good scores after giving
not,
other games bad.
Did not realize the greatness of these great games in the past, and now you are. And
dude, you should game over. We got to go. Thanks
for
listening, everybody.
You should pay for this.
Okay.
Good night.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.